Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. We're hoping for the best with the Brian Schottenheimer hire. Had the press conference about 4 hours ago right here on your home of the Cowboys. Here's Wolchuk, NFL News Today.
All right, takeaways from the press conference. Deion Sanders was never a serious candidate to be the Cowboys' next coach, according to Jerry Jones. Doesn't sound like Jason Witten will be on the coaching staff, so heck of a scoop there. Brian Broaddus. Shoddy will be calling offensive plays, and it sounds like if McCarthy had to come back, Shoddy would have left and gone somewhere else to try and call plays if somebody wanted him. And Jerry didn't feel like he needed to meet with coaching candidates like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn because Brian Schottenheimer has a better understanding of the Cowboys' current situation. I will say I think our buddy David Hellman hit on this pretty spot on, in my opinion. They answered all your problems was down the hall this entire time. Then what the hell were you doing? But I'm hopeful that Shoddy's successful. All we can do is hope, and we'll see what the future brings. One person who's not excited, though, Michael Irvin. We played a little bit of his rant during G-Bag of the Day. Here's a little bit more as he's ticked off with the Cowboys.
We have two NFC East teams in the NFC Championship game being played tomorrow. Our eyes on them. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders, our enemies on all front, and they're holding a position that we haven't held in 30 years. Yeah. The longest drought by any NFC East team, any NFC team, period. 30 years. I did a letter on Speak to Jerry Jones where I was delivering information in a book. Way, but it was, I was not lying. You bring in someone that was already inside as the head coach. You lose things there that you can't grab back that I'm worried about.
It does kind of feel like the Cowboys have taken over as the new Commanders in the NFC. It's wow. kind of where we're at right now. It's bad. It's a front office problem. And what Steven did with the air quotes to the drought today was just like, good God. Like, that's probably where you're headed, you know, in the future. That's probably the next person who's calling the shots. Might be worse. I don't know. This is a really, really bad spot to be in. I said it last week. But I'm happy for Shoddy. It's not his fault, but goodness gracious. I don't know how much help he's going
to
get.
It's got to be wild listening to the coverage or reading the stuff on X, you know, his friends and family, you know. I have to see it, obviously. I think, you know, to some extent, this is what you sign up for, but this is overwhelmingly eye-rolly.
Yes.
You know, as far as Shoddy getting the job. So maybe not what you imagine when you take a high-profile job like this with the fanfare and, you know, the hype and everything, but he'll get his chance to prove us wrong. You know,
he will.
So we'll hope for the best here with Shoddy. I think that's where I'm at right now. If he has learned enough, you know, to teach and install and conceptualize a really good ground game, and they get him one more good offensive lineman and a good running back, I think this could be, you know, at least a successful tenure there for Schottenheimer. I'm not totally convinced this is going to blow up in his face.
Well, the latest sell that I've heard is he was the guy that was very helpful in turning the offense around 2 years ago, being able to kind of put and communicate what Dak and CD and some of the players were wanting. If that was the case, we were saying, hey, find that person. Go ahead and make sure they never leave. It is, I think, convenient that now all of a sudden, oh, it was Shoddy the whole time. But if it was, then hell yeah, let's go. I did think it was great over the weekend. Somebody was talking about Dan Snyder, and apparently he bleeping hates it in regards to the Commanders' success after he sells the team, and now, boom, they're back in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1991. So even though he's a billionaire still, he's not happy that his ex is out there just having the time of their lives.
No, I did get a nice laugh.
I love
reading
that.
Through the story. How about Wickersham and Don Van Natta, dude? These guys just
the best.
I mean, Snyder's like, I'm flying across the ocean to live in London to get away from these bleep holes, and they're like, don't worry, we're still gonna find out your inner deepest, darkest thoughts that you don't want out. We knew he was going to be miserable here. I mean, it's human nature, you know, but especially for a guy like that who just drips of the ego and the details of him trying to at the 11th hour ruin the sale because he just really didn't want to do it.
I can't do it. Please don't take my baby away from me. Gosh, what could be? What could be with some fresh blood here in Dallas? Chiefs open as a 1.5-point favorite over the Eagles for the Super Bowl. I'll take that bet right now. Thank you very much, Vegas. Give me the Chiefs to cover. And the Bills, my goodness, they continue to just make terrible history. As according to Optistats, Bills became the first NFL team in history to reach the playoffs and win a playoff game in 5 consecutive seasons, but fail to reach the Super Bowl during that span. Here was Sean McDermott post-game talking about the crazy fourth down call that I do believe was a first down, but was ruled short.
I mean, the look we had in the stadium, which you don't know if they're, I don't know for sure if they have a mixed look feed in the stadium, if it's the same feed that the TV had or not. I thought he had it. The line was just short of the line was actually the first down. What it looked like to me when he was sitting next to me with the marker, just inside that white stripe was the first down. And it looked like he got to it. That's all I can say.
And now Bills fans want McDermott fired. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the thing. You know, like if your team's not able to get there and win, now everybody wants to fire the coach when the grass might not be greener on the other side. But I have several tweets. You know, Marty Schottenheimer with the Chargers couldn't get over the hump. Fired. Andy Reid with Philly couldn't get over the hump. Fired. It's about that time for Sean McDermott, said one Bills fan. You're 0-4 against the Chiefs and Mahomes. Fired. Get out of here. I don't know. I don't think firing Sean McDermott's the way to go. I think that team was not supposed to make it as far as they did this year. This was supposed to be like a retooling for them after you move on from Stephon Diggs. A lot of people were saying they're not even going to win the division, yet they do, and they get to the AFC Championship, and they were literally a play or two away from winning the game. I do think the play calling, Joe Brady didn't have his best day, in my opinion. They got beat at the line of scrimmage handedly. I did think that was a first down. They didn't get it. They left 4 points on the field by going 0 for 2 on 2-point conversions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you can go back to, but I don't think firing Sean McDermott's your answer. The answer would be, can we just petition the NFL to go to the NFC? And then you got a shot.
Yeah. That would be a heck of a Super Bowl run as well. Seeing the Bills and Chiefs meet up on that grand of a stage would be awesome. I just think you got to look at your defensive personnel, and they have made some nice efforts. You look at their depth chart, there's some names, but I mean, really at the second and third levels, you need difference makers. You need playmakers that can, you know, go get a ball or, you know, shut somebody down. You know, and I don't feel like they have enough of that for them to feel like, oh, wow, it's our coach or it's our quarterback that are the biggest difference makers here.
Shout out to Barkley. He's cashed in on a ton of incentives. He got a $250,000 incentive when he hit the 1,000-yard mark. Well, he did that twice, so he gets $500,000 there. Also got an extra $250,000 in bonuses because the Eagles made the Super Bowl. So the dude is, continues what is a historic season.
He deserved another mil just for that run yesterday. That was an unbelievable way to open up a game. Dude, that was,
I'm like, crap.
That was awesome. Three guys got you, and somehow you're hit while spinning and don't land on your
it's
back.
It's unreal what he's doing. It is. And Jalen Hurts has defied NFL history. No quarterback since Jim Kelly in 92 had returned to the Super Bowl after losing in their first appearance. So 19 quarterbacks had made their Super Bowl debut as a starter and lost. They'd never made it back until Jalen Hurts yesterday, as we will get the rematch with Hurts and Mahomes. So good for them. I hope the result in the Super Bowl is the same, which is a big fat L.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, maybe parts of DFW were split going into this week. Like, are you pulling for Mahomes or not? I think some people are fatigued by it, but I have to imagine everybody is firmly back in Chiefs camp.
Three-peat. Let's get that history, baby. Let's go.
Or the Chief Pete or
Chief Pete,
the Cheat Pete. I'm not sure what it is now.
That's the chant you want to do. You don't want to do the ESLGSES.
Gosh, right. Honestly, it's going to be so annoying having that fan base in New Orleans.
No, because we get to shout it right back at them.
I can't. Just the misspelling version. I'm with you on that. We can do that.
We got to go find Elliot Shore Parks and give him the business.
Gosh, yeah. Make sure you go up and interview Elliot. He probably won't even remember who you are.
No, just, of course
just
not.
Ask him like, hey, Elliot, what's your biggest about pork chops.
It's all about the element of surprise.
How's that Jalen Hurts no interceptions thrown in any preseason training camp practices going for you?
My favorite one, though, is when they have joint practices and he, like, that
he puts the school board
in. Sirianni's like 12-1 in joint practices.
He's one of the greatest joint practice coaches of all time.
It's unbelievable. The Raiders and the Ravens, and offensive coordinator Todd Monken to finalize an extension, so he's not going anywhere after the number one ranked offense failed to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, which is the story for all these players now and coordinators. It's like, good luck. You're not getting past Andy and Mahomes and Spags and the gatekeepers that are the National Football League and the Kansas City Chiefs. And Chip Kelly at the top of the list of several NFL teams in need of an offensive coordinator right now. Jags, Texans, both might be looking at Chip Kelly. That could be fun. I do like the idea, not that Chip was there at Ohio State with C.J. Stroud, but that could be really fun with the weapons that they've got in Houston.
Oh yeah, yeah. Chip Kelly, that makes a ton of sense if you're him and you want to get back into the NFL. And you know what's funny is we heard how many times did Schottenheimer during his presser today talk about tempo, mm-hmm. tempo, mm-hmm. tempo. And I think Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders this year were like the one seed in terms of quick tempo, up tempo mm-hmm. offense and sort of no huddle style, getting to the line and sort of going a little bit. So maybe there's more of a place for that now for old Chippy. And he was, I mean, how impressive was he? How is Notre Dame's Al Golden getting the call up after that game to the NFL with the Bengals to be their defensive coordinator and not Chip Kelly when Kelly was outclassing him on multiple different occasions in the biggest moments?
He might just be like, guys, I've got this dude named Jeremiah Smith. I'm going to stay here until he graduates, and then maybe I'll look at an NFL job. But as long as I've got him, I'm probably going to be up for the majority of these anyway. Jets hired Darren Moogie as their general manager, ex-Broncos executive. He's going to join Aaron Glenn. Is it Maugie? M-O-U-G-E-Y?
I don't know these dudes. I don't know him.
I'm thinking it's Moogie.
I think it's Moogie.
Moogie.
I'll add it to the list of questions, because when we go to New Orleans, we're going to be trying to get to the bottom of whether or not it's a Mufaletta or a Muffaletta.
I always
go
Muff.
In Moogie or Maugie.
Is it
whatever.
Maugie, Moogie? Moogie, but congratulations to Dan.
Jackson Smith Ngudjuba.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we should try.
Oh, dude, can we run up on Mad Dog at the Super Bowl and get him to just pronounce names?
Hey, Mad Dog, you want a gummy? Aaron Rodgers is also rumored to possibly be going back to the Jets. The report is from Ian Rappaport that Aaron Glenn, to my understanding, is open to it. And they expect those conversations to ramp up in the coming week. Now, I didn't get a Rappaport bomb on the Maugie Moogie guy. Yeah. I don't know if he's into it. He might just do as he's damn well told, right? Because Brick's the one that's really making all the calls there in New York. So just get
Johnson. Where does Brick fall in line with this stuff?
If Brick says jump, you say how high, Moogie, man. The Bears are hiring Moogie. Declan Doyle as their offensive coordinator and Dennis Allen, surprise, surprise, as their defensive coordinator. So Declan Doyle gets to just kind of be the guy that walks around with Ben. He gets to be their Schottenheimer.
Fake name.
Doesn't call the plays, but gets to have the time.
Declan Doyle.
Sounds like a lax bro.
Real human being.
Declan Doyle.
In my Sunday school class, we had a 2-year-old by the name of Fletcher Fudge this weekend. It's like, my guy, Fletch. I didn't know we were doing newborn Fletchers. Fudge?
That's incredible.
History repeats itself.
Tyrone Tracy Jr., who was a member of the Shrine Bowl a year ago, now starting running back for the Giants. He knows who he'd like to be the next quarterback of the G-Men. Take it away, Tyrone Tracy.
Who do I think? I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a fan of Cam Ward.
Okay. Why?
Just because I think that the passing and the running, like, I think that's where the league is shifting to.
Okay.
And just off of Dave's his offense, like, we have a whole bunch of QB runs. We have a whole bunch of, situations where the QB has to run. I'm not saying other quarterbacks in the draft can't run. Yeah. I just know Cam Ward is the best. Like, he's, you know what I'm saying, obviously off of film, stuff like that. But, like I said, he's my favorite. Again, this is opinionated. But at the same time, like, whoever they choose to pick home, because obviously my opinion holds zero weight.
My opinion holds zero weight.
Okay, true or fart, Tyrone Tracy Jr. actually watched film on Cam Ward.
Oh, that's a big time fart. He saw some SportsCenter top 10 highlights, and kudos to him. I love a SportsCenter top 10 scouting report. Those are some of the best in the business, Bryce. You know that better than anybody.
I do it all the time.
So I believe that's probably when he says
watch a lot of Sports Center.
That's what. Yeah, I mean that's still a must tune in.
I have been watching a lot of Stuart Scott Sports Center reruns. The best that ever did it, man.
Is that a YouTube rabbit hole you find yourself down?
Or? Yeah, because it was the anniversary. I think we lost him a couple weeks ago, and he was always my favorite, and nobody could do it like Stu.
Hugs and hand pounds,
Hugs and hand pounds, Stu. I love you, bro. Last thing here, we know who the ref is. It's Torbert for the Super Bowl.
Ron.
Now, this is the second Super Bowl that he's officiated here in the 2020s. He also did the Rams-Bengals 23-20 game. And he worked one postseason game, which was the Commanders' win over the Lions. So I guess he's 5-3 with the Eagles, 2-0 this year, and 2-1 with the Chiefs overall. But he has not worked a Chiefs game, but undefeated with two games refereeing Eagles games. So I don't know if that's a good thing for them or not. Probably not. All right, we know what the script is, and it's the Chief Pete three-peat.
I don't know, dude. I mean, I'll play the sound later, but they were trying to just award free points to the Eagles yesterday.
Yeah, they were. I'd never heard that before.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Stop it.
I'm sitting here watching going, wait, this is real? Is this happening? Sean Hockley making it about himself?
Give you a touchdown?
I think it's been the rule book since the 40s.
Gosh.
Well, you would know better than anyone.
Nobody's just been like false start, false start.
I wrote the rule book.
Just get the damn tush push out of the game. Thank you. There's NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Michael Irvin might be doing his best work ever as a Hall of Famer slash fan. And we'll give you more from the Playmaker coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's time now for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Michael Irvin doing some of his best work, and I think, you know, this is great because as fans, we don't need him saying, you know, defending Jerry Jones in any way at this point. He has pivoted away from that and believing in this team to demanding better, and hopefully, you know, that can, lead them to reconsider or lead more fans to take that position. Because in reality, you know, you could be in the media, you can be an all-time great, and you can say these kinds of things, but ultimately, it's going to come down to the majority of the fan base agreeing with those and not tuning in and not going to the games. That is what ultimately will lead to a meaningful change with this organization. So I think we're off to a good start when you have a guy like Troy Aikman being as critical as he has for two decades. But now Michael Irvin's on board, Emmitt Smith, Drew Pearson. I think, you know, at some point the legends are going to reach critical mass and really have a strong influence. But let me give you what he had to say here as we jump into the
You brought up Drew Pearson.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram will show you, like, if somebody liked the video, there's just videos of people just ripping Jerry and the Cowboys. You look down, it says, original 88.
There you go.
You're Drew? Like,
oh, yes.
Man, come on, bro.
Everybody's got to do their part here. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Mike said on the road, with these Cowboys, there's no curfew, no team meeting Saturday night like all other teams, and coaches who get promoted from within have a pressure to keep that up because the guys in the building got him that job. I felt like he was really spilling the tea or telling you how the sausage is made. You promote a guy like Schottenheimer, it's just a continuation of some of the things that Michael Irvin doesn't like. He says they want the same comfort as the guy that was there before them.
Can you reemphasize some of that? What do they have in place here that he's alleging?
No road curfew. No Saturday meeting. So everybody gets on the plane and goes to your destination at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He says all the other teams get there and then they get together and meet and talk football for 90 minutes or a couple of hours, right? Like we're going over the game plan. For the Cowboys, it's like, we want you to enjoy your time. Enjoy your evening, guys.
Well, Jerry doesn't really believe in clocks. So that makes a lot of sense, right? I don't care about time clocks.
Yeah, you know,
there's no curfews.
I thought that was, you know, a really good insight there by Michael Irvin, and further explained why he's so frustrated with this hire, because he wants to bring in the type of dynamic leader that's not going to settle for the way that things have been, you know. And you get a guy like Schottenheimer, part of the expectation, if you so heavily endorsed him inside the building, is you're going to continue with, you know, the ways that we get to enjoy our life. He said that he called this a lost opportunity, not hiring Dion. and believes, you know, strongly in a coach's ability to will an organization to victory. And I agree with that. You know, I think the leadership or the lack of leadership that the Cowboys have gotten from their coaching staff is an opportunity to take them somewhere we can't imagine. Like, what if they all bought in, you know, with that sort of brotherhood and camaraderie that Michael Irvin believes those kind of road team meetings lend themselves to. Okay, we go to the moment Jimmy knew it was over. Ed Werder retweeted this. Guy who read the biography said, Jimmy had a great note in his autobiography about how he and Jerry had a deal where Jimmy handled football and Jerry handled business. Then Jerry came to him and said Jimmy's job seemed fun, and Jerry changed the terms of their deal. Jimmy knew it was over. Ed retweeted that saying, Jerry offered Jimmy a contract extension that included a raise but also returned personnel control to Jerry. Jimmy declined to accept and sign those terms. That was really the beginning of like a butterfly effect that continued with Mike McCarthy just 2 weeks ago deciding he didn't want to continue on in that kind of an arrangement.
It's the day the Cowboys died.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest hurdle. And Jerry has no interest in jumping it.
Yeah, you know, and it does seem fun. You know, if I had a basketball team, that's what I would want to do. You know, I feel like I can find pretty good players. You're going to show me the 10 best college guys and I get to pick the one that I want, or, you know, wait for the group to fall to me, you know. And so I understand why. But
yes, team building is badass.
After a certain period of time, if I was falling on my face and failing, I would say, man, I really owe it to the city and the organization to step away from this. As embarrassing as it is, I got to get out of here, guys. I'm screwing this thing up. Like, Jerry's lack of respect for how miserable he's making millions and millions of people just because, damn it, I bought it and this is what I want to do, it's sad. You know, but Ed noted later on down in the comments, he said when he bought this thing, he didn't buy it as an investment. He bought it as an occupation for himself for the rest of his life.
Yeah. And his own personal fun is more important than actually winning, which is just crazy. He's one of one.
Well, hey, now, since 2010, sixth winningest franchise in the NFL, okay? So this drought, guys, I don't know why you're making such a big deal.
It's a postseason drought.
Come on.
I mean, come on. Guys. Didn't you like the regular season wins? Isn't that fun?
They win a lot of games. A lot of games.
We go to Dan Rogers, some Eberflus highlights. This is the man that we expect to become defensive coordinator soon. Helped Bruce Carter and Anthony Hitchens develop and get paid. Was linebacker's coach when Rolonda McClain made his short comeback and was really good for the Cowboys for a couple of seasons. And then also I'd throw in there, he was at Indianapolis when Leonard took off and became one of the best linebackers in the game. And the Colts really had something going until he had a string of injuries that kind of threw him off his path. It got spinal on him, didn't it?
Yeah, spinal.
Okay, RJ Ochoa, the Eagles have been to 8 NFC championship games and 4 Super Bowls since the Cowboys last went to one of either. That's what I'm talking about with, wouldn't one of these stats make you go, oh, geez, yes, I got to get the crap out of here.
Right.
I'm embarrassed. But, you know, the 3 Super Bowls back in the 90s, I think is what he's leaning on as like evidence that he can get it done. But, you know, we had the text on us last segment. We were talking some Eagle stuff and just the sort of disdain that I think a lot of Cowboys fans feel for that organization and the fan base. And somebody was saying, well, you know, they're back in the Super Bowl. It's odd that you guys are trash-talking them like that. I mean, it's the culture of their fans. It's disgusting, right? It's so unseemly. It's you know, we can acknowledge their front office, their ownership, their coaching has all been better than what the Cowboys do. And, you know, there's a lot of that we respect and wish the Cowboys would emulate. So when I'm talking crap about the Eagles, it's more just the embarrassing and obnoxious state of their fan base that makes them like somebody just perpetually farted in a room. It's like the worst thing you could see in football.
I can give the Eagles credit. I think Howie Roseman right now is, if not the best, among the best GMs in all of football. I think their roster's awesome. They got a lot of players that seem likable, but they can still go bleep themselves, and I hate them.
And their fan base in particular.
We go to Mike Zimmer here. Yes, their fan base is the worst. CowboysCountry.com. The truth.
That's Mike Fisher, right?
Is that right?
MikeFisher.com.
I saw his face up here.
Exclusive, exclusive.
He was doing a video chat, I guess, with Zim. He got an interview with him, an exclusive.
There you go.
The truth is that I've wanted to be the next head coach of the Cowboys for 25 years. So he says, all I know is that NFL teams aren't exactly beating down my door. I didn't enjoy going 7-10, but I enjoyed my time here. Mm-hmm. I woke up wanting to go to work every day, and over the course of the season, I lost 20 pounds. So congrats to Zim there. But sounds like maybe his feelings were a little bit hurt that he didn't get considered, and because Absolutely. Of that, he doesn't want anything to do with the job anymore.
No, doesn't want nothing to do with the job. He's worked for 6 of the 10 head coaches in the history of the Dallas Cowboys, and each time he's been passed over for the opportunity, and he can't figure out why. You know, every time he's ever come back, he's had success. Even those 5-11 teams, he had top 10 defenses. We weren't great on offense. That was a huge problem, and he can't understand why. Why do I keep getting passed over? Maybe it's the age. Maybe I don't. He's really, really confused and kind of hurt by it.
My read on it is he's just not like a get along guy, you know, to mm-hmm. just to say yes to whatever it is that you want, all the stipulations. And I think Jerry knows that. They've seen firsthand the type of coach he is, and that's exactly what you want in a lot of ways. But Jerry and company want nothing to do with somebody like that.
It's upsetting because it really feels like if continuity was something that they preach and that they really like, it seems like offense is the only thing that continuity matters. So now it's year 2, you're gonna have a different defensive coordinator. Does not matter any other part of the ball except for making sure your quarterback's happy. Because what if you could have hired Zim as head coach and then you hired Shoddy to call the plays? He still is your play caller. And now, okay, you've still got Zim back. Defense is intact. You've got Shoddy, who they've wanted clearly. Your offense is intact. But I guess maybe that wasn't even considered.
It's comfort over continuity, you know? Continuity that is also comfortable. And Shoddy will give him the comfort. Mm-hmm. I don't think Zimmer would.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, how much of a downgrade have you had from last year's coaching staff? You had Schottenheimer here, right? You had Zimmer here. The things that worked were Mike McCarthy setting the tone, the guys playing hard for him, the guys, you know, the 12-win seasons, and then the guys figuring out on defense. So you've lost Zimmer and you've lost McCarthy, two of the things you would want from continuity, and you retain Schottenheimer on a hope that he's going to be able to do something with the offense that he was unable to in an assistant role to McCarthy. So this is bizarre. I think the narrative that they didn't expect Mike McCarthy to leave and kind of got caught with their pants down and are scrambling to make the most of it now is probably the one that I'd go with. Details from Calvin Watkins on who could emerge on this Cowboys coaching staff. Bears secondary coach Andre Curtis will interview for DC. They're also going to interview Matt Eberflus in this coming week. ESPN reporting the Cowboys have requested to interview Dolphins outside linebackers coach Ryan Crowe. Falcons tight ends coach Kevin Coger will interview for the Cowboys offensive coordinator role. Okay, so hopefully he can bring something. A pair of assistant special team coaches, Chris Banjib from Denver and Carlos Polk from the Bears, will interview for the vacant special teams coordinator position as well.
Keep an eye on a guy that's probably going to be here, David Overstreet, who's the nickelback coach at the Bears. That seems like a guy that I'm kind of hearing some buzz about, David Overstreet.
Well, and I saw that Jonathan Jones reported that Schottenheimer has interest in the Cardinals offensive line coach, Clayton Adams, for the Cowboys OC position. And that's a guy who, I mean, Drew Petzing is the play caller there with the Cardinals, and he's like a young, up-and-coming kind of head coach candidate dude. And this is a guy that's been well-respected for, like, those lists come out every year of, like, the best young assistants that could level up. And he's been on that list. He's designed a nice rushing attack for the Cardinals.
Dude.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
A pin and pull dude, yep.
And I dig that.
We'll get John Oning's thoughts on this big Cowboys Monday here with you in the GBAC Nation coming up at 4 o'clock. If you want to go back and listen to the press conference, we had it late morning starting at around 11 o'clock. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, one of my buddies had a mock draft, and Wolchuk and I are going to try and educate you two fools. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the GBAC Nation here on The Fan. John Oning, Pro Football Focus, coming up at 4 o'clock here. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the King. Brought us.
Thank you very much, General.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking about parents protecting their kids from things.
The courtside Mavs.
Courtside stuff.
Kid takes an errant Kyrie pass right to the face.
This thing just came across my timeline, and it's kind of sad. Spectator was killed Sunday at a high school track field meet, University of Colorado, Colorado Springs campus, after an athlete's hammer.
Oh. Yeah, hammer throw went wide.
Went out of bounds.
What? Been outside.
That thing's like 16 pounds on a chain.
Yeah, it's like a medieval weapon.
And evidently he was trying to block his wife and kids.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he made the play.
He made the play. But yeah,
not a bad way to go.
I mean, I...
Huh?
You saved your wife and kids?
Not a bad way to go.
Okay.
Still, I mean, given the circumstances. Eulogy's going to be pretty
good. Yeah, it's... I mean, to me, that's... They don't have many of these. Like, I think I went back... I'm like, when, like 2017, they had one, and then a guy got... A track official got hit with a shot put.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah,
but that hammer throw, that's like spinning around, and that thing's...
They also said it's not a bad way to go. Like a damn Gallagher concert. Your head is just going to explode like a melon.
I mean, you stepped inside of a projectile to save your family. I'll take it. You know? Yeah. Much better than laying in a hospital bed somewhere in my 80s.
Now they got to put the pieces back together.
Yeah.
But I just, man, I tell you, it's crazy. That thing is just, I feel terrible. But we were talking about protecting. And now this guy sacrificed.
Mav's dad should be taking notes. Is that kind of what you're alluding to?
Man, I can say that thing that hammer. Have you ever seen one of those things?
No, I'm trying to figure it out. What do I need to type in?
It's
track
like a
hammer?
Shot put on a wire is what it is. So you spin around like you get like you're just violent circles, and then you just let it fly. But this thing went over the barrier and got him.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so it's not actually a hammer.
No.
Looking at this is a mini wrecking ball of sorts.
Yeah, exactly.
A weapon of war.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often with how fast they got to spin around to get.
I know
thing
it's
going.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That and the javelin, jeez, those kinds of things. That's Lucius. You remember lawn darts?
I do. They're dangerous as hell.
That was a game that we played like in the 80s. Those spears on the end. All right, throw it up there. You're not really paying
attention.
You're
trying to land it in the hula hoop.
Yeah, trying to land it in the hula hoop. You know, God, just crazy. All right, I promised you a little bit of a mock draft. Well, Chuck, if you would do me the honor, please help me with this one, if you would. This comes from our friend Daniel Jeremiah.
Oh, DJ.
DJ.
Pretty plugged in.
This is his first one of the season. And so it's not all mock drafts I like to go through, but I'll go through his.
His are worth going through.
His are worth going to because he's kind of talking to folks along the way. He's doing the work, but he's also talking to folks. Okay, we'll work it down to Dallas's pick and then maybe kind of talk about what's happening after. In the first pick, the Tennessee Titans, DJ's got him taking Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State.
Okay.
And he says he didn't want to. This reason why he made the pick, he said Chad Brinker said the team won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick. To me, Carter's the best player in the draft, and he plays a premium position.
Mm.
Will he be your number one player on your board there, Wolchuk?
He's number two. Travis Hunter is number one, simply because I can play him at receiver and corner, and I think he can be really good at both.
And punt returner.
And punts. And actually put him back there.
All
for
three
punts.
Phases.
Go run him back
just
there.
Just 100% of the snaps all the time. And if he can't do it, if he dies, he dies.
You know what we call that? Coward-free football.
Coward-free football. You're right about that. Yeah.
Screw it.
Get hurt. That's
part of the game. CFF.
Whatever, man. Savage.
I'll pick somebody in the second round to make up for that.
Ohtani does it.
Yeah. You're right about that. But I agree with you. I think Hunter and then Carter would be my second.
Exactly how I have it.
All right, now here's the Cleveland Browns. In fact, they do take Travis Hunter with the second overall pick. Quarterback's in play here for the Browns. Would you be surprised at the Browns that do need a quarterback? But he's saying in this scenario, they pick Hunter, the Heisman Trophy winner, two-way star. I'm in the minority as someone who prefers him as a full-time offensive player.
Ooh, you and DJ both.
Who moonlights these former scouts, man. I'm telling you what, we're on these things.
I think that
moonlights on defense.
Right, that's the only thing we've just never seen somebody moonlight on defense.
Yeah,
except for Troy Brown.
Right, and it
with the Patriots,
like because of necessity.
Right,
because they were so hurt. But like that to me, it can't say he was like awesome at it. He did like a game or two.
He was all time.
But do you think that they, do you think the quarterbacks, Wolchek, I mean, I know you haven't probably studied all of them. I kind of like
when do we watch Jackson the quarterbacks?
You got to get more film. I can't just watch like three games of a quarterback. The quarterback's the one that I overwatch the film on.
Yeah.
5-game minimum?
Minimum.
Like if the Cowboys were actually in position to take a quarterback, I'd have watched them.
No doubt.
But I really just don't care because the Cowboys aren't going to take
Cowboys
one.
Got their guy.
You got to watch
them. But I don't hate anybody at the top here for passing on quarterbacks in this year's class. Maybe Cam Ward ends up being great or Shador ends up being great, but I just don't see anybody that's like head and shoulders better than a Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, who I'm pretty damn positive are going to be damn good pros.
Giants pick next.
Giants are taking Shador.
They're desperate for a quarterback. And DJ's got him taken. Cam Ward, strong arm, playmaking ability would be a great fit here. That's what he said about that one.
I do think, like, I think you guys will end up studying Cam Ward and coming away with, like,
Think Cam Ward's better?
I do think that you guys will feel like Cam Ward is better, yes. Better than Shador.
Why do I keep watching Jackson Dart and feeling like he's better? But you're right. When you watch Cam Ward and run around,
awesome. I think Dart's sneaky.
You're right. I mean, I'm interested in seeing that. The Patriots are next at number 4, and they're going to take Will Campbell, my tackle from LSU.
Wow.
This offensive. Now, you think he could play guard, right?
I think he's got to play guard. He has the grossest stance I think I've ever seen from a tackle.
Plays the 2-point stance it's the
gross.
Whole game.
It just looks awkward.
Yeah, it's,
really?
Yeah.
Gross stance?
Yeah.
It looks like he's standing up like Ashton Jeanty does.
It's straight up. Plays very, very upright.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like a dog with a bone on this.
Okay. Jacksonville at 5 take Mason Graham. There was some talk that Mason Graham could get to Dallas at 12. I think if Mason Graham gets to Dallas at 12, I'm handing in that card.
Is he your fifth best player?
Yeah.
He's mine too.
Yeah. He's really good. The Raiders at 6 take Shador Sanders. Tom Brady, now a partner in the Raiders ownership, is someone who appreciates Sanders' toughness, accuracy, and decision making. Any love for Sanders?
I think that's a perfect fit. It seems like Brady loves him. I think he likes the Raiders. I'm all for that partnership right there.
Do you think the Raiders are going to be upset or like that the fact that if Sanders is there and they didn't take his dad as a coach?
Oh.
Do you think that's, the fact that they picked Pete Carroll?
Well, I think that would be, that could always happen, though, especially with a guy like Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Like we're starting
three-year deal.
Yeah. Prime could take over at any point.
Yeah. Number 7, that's the New York Jets. Take Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State. That's your guy, Wolchek, right?
I love Tyler Warren. I do. I do think he's easily the best tight end of the draft. I think, you watch him lumber around, it's very Gronkowski-esque, the way he just like bulldozes over people, but he's a versatile weapon that you can play all over the place. I don't love the Jets as a landing spot for him. I don't know if they're going to use him properly, but hey, they could use they could certainly use tight end help.
Warren is one of my favorite players in this draft. This is what DJ's saying. He'll be a popular with his quarterback and running backs as a difference-making inline tight end. God, I didn't see that. I mean, I saw a good flex position blocker occasionally, like the Illinois game. I saw him knock a linebacker down, but I think you guys are way ahead of me on his ability to block.
Yeah, I think he's a good blocker.
All right.
Dude, I'm looking at Will Campbell. I'm looking at Will Campbell, the LSU offensive lineman. Yeah. He's weird, right? He's very tall.
Very tall.
He's very tall.
Very tall guy. All right, at number 8, and this is going to be the first thing I'm going to ask you about here, Wolchek.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers. They take Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona.
Get Bryce Young a big pass catcher.
So you're going to say, should I call?
I'm going to ask you, should you call?
I would. Tet's my fourth best player. You get him at 8? Yeah, depending on how much am I got to give up to go from 12 to 8. I know this team needs a lot, but I think he's clear-cut the best receiver in the class.
You gave him your fourth already. Why don't you give him some more picks?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Just keep giving him picks.
He's a perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb.
Big Tet?
He'd be perfect in this offense.
Perfect as an X on the other side.
Oh, gosh. Big body, wide catch radius, bad ball catcher.
Yeah.
Just smooth. Doesn't look like he's overly fast, yet somehow he's always getting open.
Yeah. He's another guy you can watch play play against Hunter and have some success against.
Yeah, I'd certainly. A draft that I'm not in love with, like, oh man, this guy's can't miss. I think Tim McMillan's can't miss.
I think he is too. I agree with you on that. At number 9 is the New Orleans Saints. They take Mykel Williams. I'm kind of indifferent
okay
on that.
That.
You know what? That's one of those fake pin throws where you go, oh, damn, we lost the guy. No.
Which guy is this?
Mikel Williams. He's an edge rusher. Man,
looks really good.
Looks really good, but it's just inconsistent as a pass rusher.
Don't see enough playmaking.
I wouldn't be surprised if he drops. I think DJ's a little high on him here at number nine. Okay, let's go down to number 10 is the Chicago Bears. They're going to take Tyler Booker.
What, a 10?
Yeah, Tyler Booker, the guard from
Trenches.
Alabama. Oh. DJ thinks he's the safest pick in the draft.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a really good player, but good Lord, that's high.
Number 11 is Armad Membu from Missouri.
That's also a guard.
Yep.
For me.
Yeah, he's tackle guard from Missouri. I kind of feel like I've looked at him more as a tackle myself, but he
right
goes.
Right tackle?
Yeah, as a right tackle. I feel like, though, to me, that's a little rich, but for them, they need offensive line help. And number at 12. Would you like to take a guess who DJ has them taking?
Ashton Jeanty.
Do you have a guess at all there, Chief? Do you have a position?
Yeah. I mean, a bunch of offensive linemen just flew off the board.
Could be Kelvin Banks,
Give me Jahdae Barron. I'll go with Luther Burden.
He went with Ashton Jeanty.
Gosh, dog go. It. Jeanty's going to end up being their pick at 12 if he's
okay,
there.
Now let me talk.
It's a Cowboy thing to do.
Banks went to the Dolphins at 13, right behind you. And then you got at 14, the Colts took Barron, the corner from Texas.
See, he's got Barron going higher than anybody does.
Yeah, I love Barron.
How can you not? I mean, just watching Texas football, that dude jumps off the screen.
He absolutely does. Thank you very much there, General. That's it.
Thank you, Broadus. There it is, Krusty's Corner, every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Brian Schottenheimer talking about what he wants to bring to the table earlier. We'll ask John Owning, Pro Football Focus, about the new Cowboys era at head coach and more. Coming up next, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.